with you this morning. So, it's interesting. In men's group, we've been doing a study. I picked up a book a while back by Max Lucado about, it's called 10 Men of the Bible. And so I thought it kind of looked interesting. I picked it up and I was, so I got it. And I thought, you know, maybe we could have some conversations, you know, some discussion around these biblical characters, these men in the scriptures. And, you know, I read through, you know, a chapter on a particular person and it jogs some thoughts. It stimulates some thoughts in my mind, but I don't really follow the format that Max Lucado, I mean, I'm sure he does it a lot better than I do, but you know, you gotta make things yours, you know, you gotta feel like it's something that's in your heart. So I read it, get some ideas, and then kind of develop a discussion for men's group. So when I first got the book, I was looking at it, and there was one of the people was Joseph. And I remember just looking at the table of contents and thinking, I wonder which Joseph it is. I wonder if it's the Joseph of the Old Testament, son of Jacob, you know, one of the patriarchs, you know, and all the story about him in the book of Genesis. There's so, and I kind of assumed it was him because there's so much. You could go in so many different directions. There's so many things about Joseph's life. But I was wondering, I said, I wonder if it's him or if it's Joseph of Joseph and Mary, right? And I was actually surprised when I got to that chapter and I was reading it that it was, in fact, the Joseph of the Christmas story, of the Christmas narrative. And so I thought my first reaction was, before I even read it, was, there's not a lot in Scripture about this guy. And so I thought, I wonder what, you know, where this is going to go. So I read through it, got some ideas, and the more I dug into it and I looked at the Scriptures and I looked at the references about Joseph in the Scriptures, I realized, not probably a big surprise, but I realized that there was a lot more there. You know, so what I discovered, this man who was given the assignment of being the earthly father and parent of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, you know, what we can learn from his life. And so the title of the message, and I'll put it up in a minute, but actually I can put it up now. It's Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord is the title. And, oops, sorry. And the reason I came up with that title, or actually, you know what? I'm just going to leave it there, and I'll explain, because I got to kind of do a little foundation work before I can get to explaining why I call this message Yes, Lord. So the first thing, I just wanted to kind of give you a little understanding. How many times and what is mentioned in the Scriptures about Joseph? Because like I said, there's really not a lot. There are four instances in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. So all the references to Joseph are either in Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 2 or Luke chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2, because both of those Gospels are the only ones that really have what we call the Christmas story, the narrative about the birth of the Savior. So in Matthew, the first mention of this man is just in the genealogy, you know, that he was part of the genealogy that, you know, brought us to the family that would be the first family of Christianity, if you will, with Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. So he's mentioned there early in Matthew. And then, of course, the Matthew's account of the birth of Christ, and the angel appears to, you know, Joseph in a dream and all that. So that's also in Matthew chapter 1. Then in Matthew chapter 2, there's two references to him. The one is when an angel spoke to him again in a dream and said, take the child's mother and the child and go to Egypt, because Herod had made a decree to kill all of the male children under 2 years old in that region, because he was trying to snuff out this new born Jewish king. And so that's, you know, the genealogy, the little bit in the Christmas story there, Matthew 1, then Joseph taking Mary and Jesus to Egypt, and then, shortly, a couple verses later, I don't know what the exact time was, I don't know if scholars know that, but he has another dream. And an angel appears to him in the dream and says, take the child and his mother back to Israel. The one who sought his life is dead. So that's the extent of Joseph in the book of Matthew. In Luke, he simply mentioned early on in Luke chapter 1 as the one to whom Mary is betrothed. That's mentioned in Luke chapter 1. And then, of course, we have the story of, with Caesar Augustus. You know, this is Luke chapter 2. Caesar Augustus, his decree, all the world would be taxed. Everyone had to go to their hometowns, and we all know the story, right? So Joseph and Mary have to go to Bethlehem. And actually, I saw a very funny meme about that. I don't know if anybody else saw this. It's Mary is on the donkey and she's great with child, right? And Joseph is walking along next to her. Anybody seen this? Walking along next to her, as you kind of have pictured and probably seen in different Christmas depictions of the Christmas story. And Joseph says this. He says, "Mary, I'm sorry. I know that I should have got reservations. And nothing, you know. Mary, talk to me, Mary." And then the little bubble over her head says, "I'm fine." And the caption says, "The beginning of Silent Night." And I got a good chuckle out of that. So there's that with them coming to Bethlehem and the whole Christmas story. Then there's the story, it just simply says, as the story goes on, that the shepherds found Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger. That's in Luke 2:16. And then there's the time when Jesus is 8 days old, and according to Jewish law, he is presented in the temple. And they bring him to the temple, and they go in the temple, and this prophet, this man, Simeon, sees him, and he says that the Lord, the Lord had given Simeon a vision that, or had spoken to Simeon that he would see the Christ, that he would see the Messiah before his death. And so when he sees the baby, he sees Joseph and Mary bringing the baby into the temple, he said that he's the one. He's the one, the consolation of Israel. He is the one that is going to save his people from their sins. And so there's this amazing thing with Simeon. And then shortly after, there's a woman, the prophetess Anna. And she says something similar. You know, she speaks over this baby too. And then the last reference to Joseph is the story when Jesus is 12 years old. It's in the end of the latter part of Luke chapter 2. Jesus is 12 years old, annual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they go up there, and on their way back, it says, a day's journey into their trip home, Joseph and Mary realize that Jesus is not with them. You know, it must have been a big entourage, a big caravan, you know, whatever, family, and they're assuming he's probably hanging around with his cousin John the Baptist, you know, he's in their wagon over there or whatever, and they get a day's journey away from Jerusalem, only to realize that Jesus isn't there. And I don't know about you, but I think we need to add a little humanity sometimes to the scriptures. You know, we know these stories, we've heard them a million times, and it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, I know the story. Think about how that must have felt for Joseph, right? He's got one job, right? One job. Raise this child up. He's going to be the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the deliverer. You know, and Joseph, along with Mary, is given this job to raise this child up. And he loses him, you know? And you just kind of wonder what he thought at first. And then they go back and they find him in the temple and the rest of that story. But after that, he disappears from Scripture. Mary's mentioned. Mary's even at the cross, right? So, but there's never another mention of Joseph. And, you know, did he die? Possibly. We don't know for sure. You know, what happened to him, but we don't hear about him anymore. One of the most amazing things, so that's just a little foundation of what the scripture says about this man. There are some amazing things. I got so excited when I was sharing it with the guys here a few weeks ago, so some of you have heard some of this already. One of the most amazing facts, and when I read it, I was like, really? And I went and looked, and I was like, yeah, that's right. There is not one word recorded in Scripture that Joseph ever spoke. Look it up. There's not one word that he ever spoke, audibly spoke. I mean, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he carried on normal conversations and, you know, with Mary and everybody, you know, he was a carpenter, right? He had this, you know, he's making things and all that, you know, and I'm sure he spoke, but there's not one word in Scripture of Joseph speaking. And the significance, I think, of that is that Joseph was a man of action, not a man of words. And again, I'm sure he had normal conversations, but the way he is portrayed in Scripture is he is a man of action. And he did certain things, and those are the things that we're really going to emphasize. So the testimony of Joseph's life was when God spoke, he said, yes. Yes, Lord. And I know when I thought, oh, I'm going to call this message, Yes, Lord, I realized, and some of you may have already been thinking, there was a man named Harold Bredesen. How many have ever heard of Harold Bredesen? I'm sure Tim has, right? Down at 700 Club, down at CBN. Harold Bredesen, a Lutheran minister who received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and everything changed for him. And so he had quite a life and quite a ministry. And he was one of the, he was like a spiritual father to Pat Robertson, Christian Broadcasting Network, 700 Club, all that. And the reason I looked over at Tim, because he went to school down there. And I heard Harold Bredesen speak one time. And it was an interesting experience. I don't know if you remember. He passed away a number of years ago, 2006 or something like that. He was elderly at that time. And it was a little bit of an absent-minded professor kind of thing. You know, this is the way it came across, and it wasn't. And I'm not saying anything derogatory. He was an amazing man of God. But he would be preaching and speaking, all of a sudden he'd just stop. And he wouldn't say anything. And, you know, you're like, you know how it is if you're like running, you know, trying to coordinate a service and facilitate something, you know, you don't want dead air. I mean, I'm fine. If people say we're going to wait on God, okay, let's wait on God. But when it's just all of a sudden just stop and nobody knows like what, you know, it's like, Harold, are you, you know, but that was the way he was, you know, like he felt like, okay, I'm not sure what to do now. I'm not sure what to say next. So he just spend a little bit of time and then he'd go on, you know, and it was just kind of that sort of thing. But he was an amazing man. But he wrote a book called Yes, Lord. And the whole gist of that book, the story of that book is when God spoke, he said yes, whether it made sense or not. And so I thought that was a fitting title for this morning because of Joseph and the way that when God spoke, Joseph just did it. And I'll show you. There's three places, and I'll just put them up on the screen. You know, we talk about, and we say this in a derogatory way, he's just a yes man, you know. He's just a yes man. Like, he doesn't think for himself, you know. He just, yes, you know, whatever the boss, whatever this one says or that one says. Well, when it comes to God, right? I mean, the best thing we could ever be is a yes man. And Joseph was a yes man. And so here's the stories that from, you know, I've already mentioned them, but I'll show you in Scripture. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Second one. This thing's giving me a hard time. Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, it's exactly what God said. He took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. So that was the trip down to Egypt, and then the next one. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Egypt, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. So I really want to talk about the obedience of this man. And you know, it's interesting that all three of those instances, God spoke to him in a dream. And you know, I don't know how you feel about this. We had Will Ford and Matt Lockett here earlier this year. Some of you remember that. I won't get into the whole story, but they are individuals that God has really spoken to them in dreams and kind of led them. They met in Washington in this amazing way, and their whole story, if you remember their testimony, was just phenomenal. But God led them by dreams. And I know we need to be very, very careful. You know, not everything you dream has spiritual whatever and all that. But sometimes I'm like, Lord, I feel like you ever speak to me in dreams, you know, sort of thing. And yet the Bible talks about it. And here we have three instances, at least in the life of this man, Joseph. But you know what? The last few weeks, God has a couple of very significant dreams. I mentioned the one about the scuba gear, you know. And there's another one. I'm not going to get into it now, but that I just had this week that I really felt was from the Lord about kind of the future season that we're heading into. And it was, I will share it at some point, but I'm not going to share it today. So it's kind of cool. But he spoke to them in a dream, spoke to Joseph in a dream in three different instances. And you know, I know what you might be thinking. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, you know, if an angel appeared to me, you know, yeah, I'd obey, right? But sometimes you just don't know, right? I don't know. Is this the Lord or is it not the Lord or whatever? Well, first of all, you know, again, and I was thinking about that, and I went back and I looked and I said, well, it was in a dream, right? He had an angelic vision, but it was in a dream, right? I mean, that could happen to any of us. You know, you just, you know, the idea of an angel actually coming in, you know, when you're awake and having this like angelic visitation, you know, that would be something. But, you know, these were in dreams, and Joseph was having these dreams and the angels appeared to him. And you might say again, well, yeah, but if God spoke to me that clearly, I sure would obey too. But you know what? I really feel, when you think about what God asked Joseph to do, something that no human being ever in the human race had been asked to do and since had ever been asked to do, right? So this is pretty significant stuff. And so the fact that he had these angelic visions when he was in a dream, because it would say, you know, he when he woke up or whatever, when he arose, you know, he went and he did what the Lord had spoke to him in a dream. But again, the whole gist of what I'm trying to say here is that when God spoke to him, he responded. And I know, again, sometimes it's not as clear in our lives, but look at what God was asking of him to do. You know, it wasn't like, not that this is insignificant by any stretch, but it's not like, hey, tell this coworker about me, you know, tell him about what I've done in your life, you know, witness to this person, share your testimony. You know, it's like, why do we hesitate on those things? You know, I said, well, I'm not a hard, how can you go wrong? You know, some things are just simple. Just obey, just do. And I'm saying that knowing that I've fallen short many times in my life. And so Joseph was a man of action. He was a man of obedience. He was a devout Jewish man who was committed to obeying the law of God. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And part of what was expected of him was that he would marry a virgin daughter of Israel. That was the way it worked. And so you can imagine, again, let's get a little human here. We know the story so well. But now this devout Jewish man finds that the woman that is betrothed to him is with child. And try to picture that conversation. Yeah. I mean, really, and I'm not trying to be facetious or whatever, but in some way this was communicated, you know. And it took that dream and that angelic vision in the dream to get Joseph to understand. So somehow Mary had communicated with Joseph, I am with child, right? And I can picture the conversation. It's not what you think, right? You're not going to believe what happened. And I'm sure, because we know, you know, from the story that he didn't, or he didn't understand. And there was no artificial means back then, you know, like maybe can be done today or whatever. So Joseph is entrusted by God to walk out this journey that no one else has ever had to walk out before. And while there's not a lot in Scripture, as I showed you, about this man, what we see of his life is perfect obedience to God. Now, am I saying that Joseph never sinned or Joseph never made? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying what is revealed to him, what the Holy Spirit saw fit to show us in the Scriptures about this man, is perfect obedience to God. God spoke, he did it. God spoke, he said, yes, Lord. And what a legacy that is. What a legacy that is. And I want that to be the legacy of my life. And I hope that you do as well. Simple obedience to the Scriptures, simple obedience to the voice of the Lord, however we feel God is impressing upon us or whatever, doing about it. You know, and there's times where we get counsel, there's times where we have to, you know, there's things that the angel spoke to Mary and said she pondered them in her heart, you know, like, what could all this mean? Sort of thing. You know, I get it, but at the end of the day, as we say, obeying and doing what God has called us to do. And that was the testimony and the legacy of Joseph's life. The second point, and I have just two things I want to share with you this morning. And the second is this, and it really dovetails in with obedience. But I'm going to say it a little bit differently, and I'll explain why I see these two as slightly different things. The second thing I want to talk about is answering the call of God on our lives. So, and the significance, the difference is this. Answering the call of God is like this. Okay, the trajectory of your life is changing because God has placed a call on your life and he's taking you in a direction. Okay, so that's like this big macro sort of thing. Answering the call of God. And then along with that is the daily obedience, right? As each step we take, you know, walking in obedience. So the two, there's a little distinction there, a little, you know, way to distinguish between the two, but they are very much connected. Joseph answered the call of God on his life, even though it radically altered the trajectory of his life. I'll say that again. It radically altered the trajectory of his life. And I'll explain that a little bit more in a second, but I'm sure you can understand what I'm saying. There is no way that the call of God is not going to radically alter your life, right? God is not in the business of working within our boundaries, right? So if you say yes to God and you answer the call that every person has a call of God. It looks different for everyone. My buddy in jail, this young man I've told you about before that I just saw him last night. I'm the jail chaplain, if you're not aware of that. And the highlight of my visits on Saturday, I walked the halls and talked to the inmates, is one or two guys that are just hungry for God, who are just growing like, it's amazing. And this one young man is wrestling with what the call of God is on his life. And so it was kind of cool. We were talking about that last night and had a great conversation with him. Because God does have a call on his life. It's going to be, you know, he can fulfill that call while he's incarcerated, which is going to be at least 10 years. But, you know, he's still a young man, and it's interesting. And we had just had, because we had a conversation about it last week, too. And he said, Pastor Tim, we talked about the call of God last week, and he said, you had no sooner walked down the hall, or maybe it was like I had left, or it was an hour or so late, I don't remember. And another guy these two guys were talking, and the other guy said to this one I'm emphasizing now, he said, "You know, Orlando, I think that you should tell your testimony to young people, you know, so that they don't go down the road you went down." And he was a drug dealer and all that. I don't want to get into all of it. But, you know, and he said, "Pastor Tim, we had just talked about it. And I was thinking, you know, because I've said, I think there's something special. There's some special anointing that God's placing on the life of this young man. And he understands what he did. He's not, you know, trying to beat it. You know, a lot of guys are like, oh, if I can just win, you know, a trial, or, you know, he knows. And he's willing to take whatever punishment there is, but it's all about the call of God. That's what, you know, where I'm kind of going off on a little tangent here. And so Joseph was asked to be the earthly father of, you know, to raise the Messiah. And, you know, I asked the guys in men's group when we were talking about this a few weeks ago, I said, "What do you think God saw in this man?" And it's pretty obvious, right? It's everything you just talked about. You know, the kind of obedience and such that he had, and just the heart that he had and the love that he had for God. And then I asked the question, what does God see in you? What does God see in me? And that's a question every one of us should ask. When he looks at us, does he see a yes person? Does he see a person who's faithful and committed and will say yes? You know, remember Isaiah chapter 6, "Here am I, send me, oh Lord." Is that the kind of person that God sees in us? So put yourself in the place of this young Jewish man. He's betrothed, or there's a woman who's betrothed to him, and she's found to be with child, and she says, you know, "Joseph, it's not what you think," you know, sort of thing, and all, as I just made reference. So it says, the Bible says that this is one thing. It's not a spoken word, but it's a thought of Joseph's. It says he was minded to put her away secretly. You know, not wanting to make her a scorn and derision in the community, it says he was minded, you know, he had a thought about putting her away secretly, and that's when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and so forth. So, you know, think about, this is kind of where he's at, and Joseph, this guy, he's in a pretty good place in his life before this happens. He's got a skill, he can provide for his family, he's got a fiance. Betrothal is a little bit more than a fiance, but it, you know, he's in this relationship, a permanent relationship. He's in good standing in the community. The trajectory of his life was something that any young Jewish man would dream of. You know, this is just the way it, you know, everything had just fallen into place for him with his skill, his trade, his fiance, and everything was moving in this direction. And then God shows up and just absolutely rocks his world. Absolutely rocks his world. And nothing is ever the same again. And that really is the nature of the call of God on our lives. It may not seem as dramatic as Joseph's, but you can be sure it's going to change your life in a big way. When you say yes to God, when you find the direction that God has for your life, it's going to change the trajectory of your life. This is a quote from Max Lucado. "Joseph's plans for the future, his hopes for a traditional, comfortable life with Mary, weren't the only thing that took a hit when the angel showed up. As we'll see, Joseph's reputation, his standing in the community, which he had likely worked hard to build, was suddenly threatened by Mary's pregnancy. Joseph discovered that when you commit to God's plan, people look at you differently, and sometimes they talk about you as well. Some people aren't as willing to say yes as this man was." He was, this is a word we were talking about in men's group, and like Kurt was saying, I said, "How do you pronounce that?" He said, "I think the T is silent." So he was a Sadiq, is the word. And I was like, "Well, where," you know, when I'm reading, I'm like, "Where does that come from?" And in Matthew 1:19, it says that he was a just man. And that's not just a nice, you know, some translations say he was a righteous man. Others say that he was an observer, a follower of the law, or a man faithful to the law is what the NIV says. That wasn't just a general phrase. you know, oh, he's just a good guy. He loves God. You know, he's a righteous person, quote unquote. You know, he's a just man. This was it was like a title, and a Siddiq, and that's the word that's used there, was a title of honor. And what it meant was this person was a serious student of the Torah. He was a serious student of the law of God. And so this was like an elder or a deacon or something, though, that we would understand in that context. And now this Siddiq, this man who, you know, is trying his best in the world that he lived in to follow the law of God, has a pregnant fiance. Right? And when Joseph said yes to God, he was surrendering a normal life. And am I willing to do the same? Are you willing to do the same? Has your reputation ever taken a hit for following Jesus, for your faith in Jesus? And even after, somehow after, you know, all this and the angelic visions and his dreams and stuff, so Joseph finally comes to the place of accepting, okay, wow, this is of God, and Mary's going to bear a child. Not really my child, but, you know, I've been given a responsibility. So he accepts all that, you know, finally wraps his head around that. And still from that point on, I don't think anything turned out the way he would expect, the way he expected it to. Right? Because I've got to believe, you know, he comes to terms with who this child is that Mary's carrying. I'm going to be responsible for raising the Messiah. And then it comes to the birth itself. And I would stake my reputation on the fact that he had no idea that this was going to happen in a barn with farm animals and manure and everything around them, right? Right? I don't think that ever crossed his mind. And I was reading something from that book. It says, when you sent the angel and spoke of the son being born, this isn't what I pictured. I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, the priests, the people gathered to celebrate, a pageant perhaps, a parade, a banquet at least. I mean, this is the Messiah. Something that we all have to grapple with is that rarely does life turn out the way we think it's going to, right? And I mean, Joseph is that on steroids. But rarely does life turn out the way that we think it's going to. And add to that, you know, Joseph has to keep thinking, this is God's son. This is not my own biological son. And that says to me, we are stewards of the vision that God gives to us. That's one thing I say again and again and again. We don't own the vision. Just like Joseph didn't, quote unquote, own Jesus, you know, we're stewards of it. And Joseph was a steward of the vision that God had given. And we will all have times in our lives where we stand between what makes sense to our minds and what God is saying and doing. That's just going to be a part of our lives. This looks more logical. This makes more sense to me. But I think God is doing this. And we will stand in the middle of that kind of situation. And Joseph certainly did. So that's really what I gleaned, you know, this idea of answering the call of God, this idea of obedience. And so I want to ask you to stand, and I'll just say a couple more things before we pray. A couple of questions. Are we willing, are you willing, am I willing to answer the call of God on your life, even if it radically alters the direction of your life? Because as I said before, the call of God will always radically alter the direction of your life. You cannot have everything that God wants for your life and think at the same time that everything else can be the same. Right? And I always said, God will blow up your boundaries. God is not in the business of working just within the parameters that you set. You know? Well, Lord, this is what I'm willing to do. You know, I'm willing to go this far. You know, God is always going to push the envelope on that. And do you want your legacy to be, yes, Lord, like this man's was? God speaks, you obey. You know what? I've said a couple of times, trying to make these scriptures more human, and I'm not trying to take away anything of the sacred, you know, inspiration of the scriptures, but sometimes, you know, we just they're so common, these stories. We've known them for so long, especially the Christmas story, the Christmas narrative. And I just wonder what it was like, you know? Wonder what that home was like. Was it perfect? Everything, you know, you would expect? What, you know, I mean, obviously Jesus lived a sinless life, but, you know, I just wonder about the conversations that went on. You know, I wonder, you know, what was day-to-day life like for this family? What did they talk about? What was it like to teach the Messiah, you know, to raise the Messiah? You know, amazing, amazing thoughts. But in the end, this is what I want you to take away, and this is what we'll take to the Lord in prayer. Establish a legacy of obedience to God in your life. Establish a legacy of obedience. You know, I think it was it John Wimber? John Wimber said, obedience has its own rewards. Well, that was his quote. But somebody else had another quote about simple obedience, and I can't remember what it is. You know, just being willing to say yes to God, even when it doesn't, as I've said, I'm being redundant, even when it doesn't look like it makes sense sometimes to us. And on the bigger scale, embracing the call of God on your life, knowing, even though you know that it will radically alter your life and change the direction of your life. And many of you have experienced that. Maybe some of you haven't, but I hope you do. It may make you feel uncomfortable. I can guarantee that, but it's okay. It's okay. I would rather be out on a limb with God than in a safe, secure place without Him. Amen? 100% every day. And I know it's easier to say than it is to do, but that's the kind of life we want to live. Let's pray. Father, again, I was kind of surprised the more I dug into the life of this man, with so few references to him in Scripture, that there was so much about his obedience and his willing to say yes and his willing to embrace your call, which was so unprecedented, so unprecedented. And God, it is a testimony to us that while our call and our lives may not be that, look that drastic in the eyes of others, Lord, you are in the business of altering our lives. You are in the business of blowing up our boundaries. You are in the business of taking us farther than we may have thought that we would ever go in you. And I pray that we would say yes to you and we would embrace those things and we would leave a legacy of obedience like Harold Bredesen did, you know. And he was very unorthodox, quote, maybe that's not the right term, but he, you know, eccentric, I don't know, it just did things kind of different and whatever, but he was committed to that heart, that call to just say yes. And so, Lord, I pray, and I truly believe for those of us, and I'm one of them, that sometimes struggle with knowing what the Lord is saying, that the more God knows that we're willing to say yes, the more he's going to reveal of himself and his glory that I talked about a few weeks ago, his will, his purpose for our lives and the things he's calling us to do. The more he knows. Why would God reveal stuff if he knows that you're not going to do it anyway? You know, you're not going to obey him. The more we commit ourselves and solemnly, you know, before him, even today, surrender our lives fully in a fresh way and say yes to you, I believe the more that you'll show us and guide us and lead us. And I pray that would be our legacy. And I know it will make a difference not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. And I thank you for that in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's go live it out. Amen. You can be dismissed.